The Anton Savage Show
with Kiries.ie
on News Talk.
One consultant psychiatrist who is the consultant chair of the consultant committee at the Irish Medical Organisation is speaking today to the Irish Medical Organisation at their AGM in Killarney on the topic of social media and why social media should be viewed in the same kind of context as an alcohol or as a tobacco, the kind of thing that requires a health warning, the kind of thing that we shouldn't just see as open season, particularly as open season for the young. He is Matthew Sadler, Professor Matthew Sadler. Matthew, good morning.
Good morning, Anton.
Matthew, the concerns that you would have around social media, the addictiveness, the impact of it, are what?
Well, I mean, as I say, it's not just my concerns, and our motion today comes based on the US Surgeon General, who'd be the United States equivalent of our Chief Medical Officer. And last year, they issued a public advisory, a general advisory in regards to social media use and youth mental health. Now, I mean, these are the same advisories that in the 1960s they issued on cigarette smoking and the 1980s they issued on road safety. So, you know, the United States Public Health Department is leading out on this, saying that excessive use of social media by the youth is causing a mental health crisis in our youth. Now, we know there is a mental health crisis in our youth. We know that rates of depression, anxiety and other more serious problems, which I won't talk at this time of the day on, but are rising in our young population. And we have to try to find what are some of the causes of this and try to combat this. And undoubtedly, one of the causes of this is excessive use of social media. The US Surgeon General himself, in his report, said that, and I'm quoting directly, that the introduction of social media platforms may have contributed to more than 300,000 cases of depression among US college student population. Like, that is a stark number. If that was happening to any other physical health problem, if that was 300,000 cases of diabetes, 200,000 cases of asthma, we would be acting on it. So I think we need to take mental health as seriously as physical health and start to act upon these numbers.
Now, the issues where you spoke before about the Surgeon General having previously put in warnings, there was an evident physiological connection. We know what alcohol does to the body. We know what tobacco does to the body. What's the connection with social media? What's causative in social media that's creating the 300,000 cases?
Well, we know that, you know, behavioural addictions tickle the same neural pathways as substance addictions. In a slightly different way, it has to be said, but they do. They still affect, I mean, the stereotypical answer is the dopamine hit, which is, you know, activity in the nucleus accumbens in the ventral tegmental area and the pathways between the two. Yes, it is largely dopamine related, but there's other neurotransmitters involved. And that repeated use of this pathway means that pathway grows up and people then start to develop a dependency. They develop a reward behavior when they do an activity and that this grows over time. We have known this for a significant period of time around other digitals. Specifically, I will be talking about computer gaming, and gaming addiction disorder has been known for a while, but obviously computer gaming dates back to the 1980s. So it has a longer lead in to create this. So we know that, you know, people who excessively use social media do develop the same symptoms we get in an addiction, which is distress when that stimulus is taken away from them, a difficulty reduced use, despite the fact that they know there is a problem and they know that this is causing them harm. And I did a study myself, which is what started me on this pathway, where we did a survey of actual general practice trainees who are people in their early 30s who are in full-time employment. And we got a response of 70% of them said that use of social media made them feel anxious or depressed at times. And like, this is a group of people who have, you know, by any metric would not be considered vulnerable. And so you could only boggle to what is happening to our more vulnerable members of society in regards to this.
Now, Matthew, not being facetious, but let me devil's advocate. I'm sure somebody listening would say, well, look, you could argue the same is true of people who very much enjoy sitting down with a good book, that you feel better having read it, that you have a desire to say, leave me alone till I read the next chapter. We've been doing that for centuries and we see it as largely positive. So what's so uniquely damaging about interaction with social media that isn't the same with either other media or with books?
Well, I suppose it is. And I mean, the issue with social media, and I think there is a study that says that only about 4% of people who use social media use it to connect or communicate, and 96% is used for, you know, watching videos and this sort of stuff. But obviously that depends on what platform and it depends on what country. So, but what is different is it plays on a number of human vulnerabilities, specifically that vulnerability of rating yourself against somebody else. So the concept of likes, the concept of popularity, the concept of wanting to not violate social norms, the creation of a social norm that you don't want to violate. It also comes in the fact that the way the algorithms work with intermediate reinforcement, with continuous or infinite scroll, with these other devices that, you know, are encouraging use, which encourages repetitive use, and the immersive element of it does make it different. You know, if you're sitting down reading a chapter of the book, you're not seeing a clicker in the corner going up to see how many people are liking, you know, the speed that you're reading it. So, I mean, there is a difference between this than there is to other media and to other activities we've done before. And the evidence is pointing out, and what I'm calling for is that it is excessive usage, which, you know, depending on what survey you look at with adolescents, is somewhere in the region of 20 to 30%. You know, and there's an estimate from the British Medical Journal last year, or in 2019, that 20% of adolescents may use social media for more than 5 hours a day. Now, 5 hours a day is about 20 years of your life, if you add it all up. I mean, that, you know, that is a problem.
Now, explain two things, Matthew. If you have big, giant international businesses with trillions of dollars at play that are rooted in two things, the capacity to find exactly what you want when you want it and to tease you to want more, and designed to find the things that annoy you and irk you and drive you into engagement, which is what we know from Facebook revelation, we know from Elon Musk's own direct words that that's what his platform is geared to do. How do you counter that? Because the only way to counter it, I would have thought, is to pick apart the business model that makes them all their money.
Well, I think what we have to do is prioritize safety, and we have to prioritize public safety. You know, Anton, there's many people listening to this conversation who will be surprised to say they're not qualified as a doctor. You were able to smoke a cigarette on the wards of Vincent Hospital, you know, or you're able to smoke a cigarette indoors. Like, we have been here before where we faced large industries, where we faced vested interests. But in the nature of public safety, you know, we introduced seatbelts in cars, which was massively restricted at the time. We introduced the smoking ban. In fact, Ireland took a lead in introducing the smoking ban. So I think we can do this, and it is incremental. Personally, I would like to see something like the tax system or a disincentive for excessive use. As I said, I'm not trying to ban. I don't think prohibition is the way forward, but I think we need to have, you know, disincentives for excessive use. So at some point in time, if you are using one of these, like what we do with alcohol, we have introduced minimum unit pricing of alcohol. You cannot sell alcohol at below cost pricing in order to ensure that it's not used as a loss leader. So at a certain point of time of using a social media platform, you should be charged. And we know that something like that will reduce usage. I find it boggling that you're allowed to join a platform without having your identity verified. We should have identity verification, which means that at least there's an accountability trail going back to the person. We should be treating these platforms as publishers in the same way that we treat a newspaper or a magazine. And I also think that there's a need for, you know, organizations like yourselves and other media organizations, that if I want to contact your show today, you should have a medium that I could do that, not through a social media platform. I should be able to maybe put a notice on your website, call an actual phone number. But the fact that, you know, you have media organizations that are constantly pushing people through commercial, for-profit, you know, social media enterprises, I think these are the sort of measures that I would be looking to introduce. And it's what they call nudge psychology. So what we need to do is nudge people down from the excessive use to a more reasonable level of use. And as I say, the dangers and the, you know, the impact of reasonable use aren't actually as stark as they are about people who use these platforms in a more excessive manner.
You use the analogy of the experience with things like smoking on the wards being once socially acceptable and the Overton window moving significantly in the years since. What sort of reaction do you get when you make these suggestions? Do people say, ah, Matthew, it's only scrolling TikTok or looking at Facebook, sure, what harm?
I get people saying, I totally agree with you. It is bizarre. It seems to be something that a lot of people are thinking but are not saying. I have yet to hear in a conversation or in a presentation, now it has to be said, I will accept that most of my presentations and conversations are not with teenagers, but with adults and with parents, and all of them are saying, you know, we need some control on this. You know, I can't do this by myself. And the problem with social media is they do create this group aspect, that if all your friends are on it, you have to be on it. So it is very difficult to take one, to reduce one person in a network's usage. What you have to do is reduce all the people's in the network's usage. And what we are calling for today is a policy for Ireland on screen use, similar to what we had on tobacco. And we've achieved amazing things in tobacco. Like somewhere about 70% of the population in this country smoked cigarettes on a daily basis when I was a child. We are now down to less than 20%, you know, and the health benefits of that, you know, we see coming through the system. So I think it is possible to do. And also, on the other hand, there's also issues about, you know, measures to reduce screen time for people of all ages and all types of screens as well. You know, it's not healthy for a, you know, for a 50-year-old to be sitting watching the television for 10 hours in a row during the daytime either. So, you know, we do have to look at that aspect of it. But I'd say today we're specifically focusing on the social media side.
Matthew, thank you very much for your time this morning. That is Matthew Sadler, who is Professor Matthew Sadler, Chair of the Consultant Committee at the Irish Medical Organization. And he's speaking to the IMO AGM today on the topic of social media. And he seems to be scratching an itch for an awful lot of people on the text. And by the way, text 53106 if you want to get in touch. I'm really starting to get a pain in my whatsit listening to the constant pearl clutching now in relation to underage and social media. Is there anyone at this stage that doesn't accept the serious developmental problems that it is causing our kids up to at least 16? I feel like, and this reflects what Matthew was saying, I feel like we're the parents in the 70s starting to realise what the tobacco industry had done, targeting their kids and yet stood idly by. We're standing idly by because our bureaucrats are slow and impotent dealing with big problems. Another Anton, everything that man says is pure common sense. That man, Professor Matthew Sadler, and if you missed him, obviously we'll put up the podcast after the show. Another, social media is specifically designed to be addictive or sticky. Add the algorithms which hugely amplify the rabbit hole effects and the arguments for warnings are strengthened.
The Anton Savage Show
with Kiri's.ie
on News Talk.